say what you will about Barack Obama. Go on, say it. You could have disagreed with like 90% of his policies and what he did, but I'll tell you something about Barack Obama, which really brings a little tingle to my heart. And you may agree with me, you may not. No matter what you think of what he did for this country, policy-wise, he was an example for people. I mean, he still may have hated his guts, and I can't sway those people. But here was a man who was somewhat cool. He was cool, man. He was just cool, you know? He even smoked a butt every once in a while back in his day, you know? He's just a cool guy. He's a cool guy. Everybody loves a cool guy. How can you not like a cool guy? What a great thing to have the President of the United States being a cool guy. He was fairly young at the time. He had a great family. His wife was attractive. She took on various policies, went out to the country and promoted goodness amongst people and children. She had a stance on various things and wasn't afraid to go out, but they were stances of social togetherness. She was an intelligent lady, an extremely intelligent woman, and still is. A strong woman. A woman that other women could look up to. And their children. We watched them grow up through the 8 years. Fine, fine children. Perfectly raised. Respectable, loving. That White House was a microcosm of what American life should be. A strong, intelligent, cool family. Being an example for us all. And isn't that what it's all about, that White House thing? Sure, it's about making policies and promoting various ideas and bills and things like that. But isn't the primary purpose of the leader of this country to set an example of morals, of goodness, of family? And whether that was like 100% behind the scenes, I don't know, but I don't care. It was what was portrayed. That man and his family were perfect in the White House for us as far as a family representation. And I bring that up because now we have the opposite. We have chaos. We have total uncoolness. We have horrible examples. We have disarray, division, divisiveness, lying. All coming out of that same building that was occupied by a family that we all could look up to. Again, dismissing all policy ideas, I'm just talking about people as a family. Just wanted to make that observance. Okay, now that I did, let's continue on.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm wearing my favorite pants today.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Hey, welcome to the program, everybody. Good to be with you. Can I get you something? Would you like a foot warmer? Would you like a sandwich by any chance? How about a finger sandwich? How about a foot sandwich? How about a toe sandwich? How about ptomaine poisoning? Huh? You want a beverage? Can I get you a beverage? Do you want a beverage? Alcoholic? Look, just make yourself comfortable and we'll see what happens here. I got a call yesterday. This is funny and pathetic at the same time. A lot of things are funny and pathetic at the same time. Case in point, this program. I got a call yesterday from New York University. As I told you on the show yesterday, before I even got this call, that I went to New York University, and that's where I went. And my father paid for my college education because he had to. My parents were divorced when I was 13, thank God. And part of the settlement was that he had to pay for my college. Poor schmuck. No, he's a good man and whatever. So anyway, it was close to $200,000 even back then. It was a very expensive college, one of the more expensive in the country. New York University calls me up because I'm an alumni. I don't know what that means, but I am one. You'd figure after $200,000 of college expense, I know what the word alumni meant, but, I know it's that I went there, but I don't know what it's derived from. Alumniatus, which is one who has gone to a college before. I don't know what the derivative is. They call me up, and this is a very nice young man who's probably a college student volunteer, calls me up and says, Mr. Van Dam, which happens to be my last name. What a coincidence. Phone number, last name, they matched. Calls me up and he says, Mr. Van Dam, this is Bruce from New York University Alumni Association. And immediately I said to myself, what are you suing me? What are you going to sue me? He says, Mr. Van Dam, we're calling to see if you'd like to help us out, the Alumni Association. Would you care to give a contribution to the New York University Alumni Association? And I paused for what seemed to be 6 hours, but was probably about 10 seconds. And all the stuff was going through my mind very, very quickly. What was going through my mind was basically, you son of a bitch, how dare you call me up asking for money decades after I went to your stupid school, which, you know, as I said yesterday on the show, college is wonderful if you're going to be a nuclear physicist, a doctor, a lawyer, even a dentist. College is very, very important. You need those skills. You need that degree to hang up on the wall. But for everybody else, not so much. For everybody else, as long as did you complete college? Yes, fine. They don't ask where you went or what you wore to your first class. They don't care about that stuff. Are you a college graduate? Yes. How many years of college? 4. Thank you. That's all. They don't get into details about that. So anyway, a guy calls up and says, would you like to contribute even more money than what you spent already on our university? My response was as follows. No.
Tell her no, 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 no. Don't hurt me now, for love belongs to me.
The nerve, the unbridled nerve of colleges and universities' alumni associations to call up former students and ask for more money when you financially raped them years ago. It's It is like a rape victim whose perpetrator calls up later and says, I know I raped you. Can I rape you again? It's weird stuff to me. How dare they do that? Most kids are still paying off their college loans. Can you imagine that?
I'm paying off my college loans. I can barely afford my apartment. I'm paying huge amounts of money to pay off the education that I got a decade ago. Now you're calling me to contribute money to the very thing that I'm still paying for? Are you freaking serious? Are you kidding me? That's like the Ford Motor Company saying, I know you're paying on the car, on the loan, which is $300 a month, but can you do me a favor? If you really like the car, can you just like donate some money to us on top of it because we want to keep making good cars? What are you kidding me? What are you kidding me? Is this a joke? Is this an alumni association joke? I couldn't believe it. I didn't haul off and let the kid have it. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem with all the solicitation stuff. The people that are calling up are usually volunteers, or they're getting paid a very, very small amount, and they're trying to feed their families. It's a job to them. It doesn't pay for me to yell at them. They're not the problem. They're just performing a job that they're paid to do. So I can't yell at them. And the people that I want to yell at, I can't get in touch with them. Everybody's out to get your money. Did you hear that Toys R Us is closing their doors? I guess their doors have been open all the time, and it was not a good idea to keep your doors open. No, they're closing their doors. They're going out of business. Apparently, Toys R Us never properly got into the online purchasing marketing deal where other stores have. Toys R Us was just saying, look, we're a brick and mortar. This is what we do. We take brick and we make mortar and we put them together and we have a store. And they figured that kids just love to walk down the aisles of their Toys R Us stores and look at all the toys. And I got to tell you, it is fantastic. But they can't exist anymore because big corporations like Amazon and Walmart and Target, that's pretty much it. they're taking these brick and mortar stores and it's not working anymore. That's sad, man. It's sad. Look, I'm a little bit older than you are, some of you. I'm a little bit younger than some of you. But I'll tell you something. I kind of miss the days of things when they were simpler. Now, I know that the internet's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing where you can take your private life and put it out publicly and have people comment and desecrate you and belittle you and steal your money and steal your identification. That's all fun and good. But I just remember a time where if I wanted something, I went into a store, I looked at it on the shelf, I held it in my hand, I tried it on, if that was the case, and then I gave somebody some cash, and they gave me the item, and I walked out of the store, and I enjoyed it immediately. It was a great, satisfying experience. No more. Now you see it, and then you buy it, and they send it to your house, and you try it on, you send it back. I mean, it's just, and in order to do so, I have to give them all this information about myself, my email address, my mailing address, my name, the last four digits of my social security number, who my grandmother slept with. My shoe size, my background report, my criminal expose, just everything, every who my brother, my sister, where do they live, what's their address, what's their email address, what's a secondary phone number. All I wanted to do is buy a pencil. Can't we do it that way? Can't I say, here's a dollar, here's your pencil, and we're done, we're finished. I don't want coupons for future pencils. I don't care about that stuff. I don't want anybody to know about me anymore. That's why I do radio. As I've said on the show before, I don't do online banking. I don't get it. I don't get online banking. Life doesn't have to be that convenient anymore. I don't need to be that easy. I don't need that much convenience. If I don't have time to go down to a bank to pull out a couple of bucks, I shouldn't have a couple of bucks, or and I shouldn't be putting it in a bank. If you don't have time to live, then what are you doing? What do you have time to do? I can't stand people that say, I don't have any time. I don't have any time for that. I have no time. I can't do that. I've got to do this. What? Reschedule yourself. Do you know what was fun for me? Writing stuff down. That was fun. I wrote stuff down. I took a pen, piece of paper. I wrote it down. It was fun. I didn't have to look at spreadsheets and enter things and then have them print and stuff. I just wrote it down on a piece of paper. Boom, it was done. Boom, it was written down. Life was so much easier. It was. I know you don't believe me. That's fine, whatever. Coming up a little bit later in the show, actress Bailey Madison is going to join us, and we'll talk to her about her movie that was just released called The Strangers, Pray at Night. It's scary stuff. It's about a young lady who gets into peril. It's a couple of people who get into some peril and by some strangers that show up. And the lesson in this movie to me is never trust strangers. It goes further for me, never trust anybody. I think that's pretty much the message. I don't think it was supposed to be the message in the film. I don't know if there was even supposed to be a message at all in the film, but that's the message that I got out of it. No matter who they are, don't trust anybody. Don't trust anybody. Especially when they call you on the phone while you're eating dinner. Don't trust that at all. Yeah, we know they're home eating dinner. Let's bother them and hit them up for some cash. Would you like to contribute to the New York University Alumni Association? Let me think about that. Perhaps, maybe, how about this idea? How about absolutely no? How about that? How about no? How about no? No way. How about that? How about no? No freaking way. How about that? How about you stop calling me while I'm trying to eat? How about that idea?
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But these days, you'll find me knocking out customers with the food at my restaurant, Betty's Cupcakes.
And that would be headshots.
Headshots. Take it from me, every meal we serve at Weedy World...
Headshots?
...at Headshots is a world champion. Whether you're a lightweight, middleweight, or a heavyweight like me, bring your appetite to Charlie's Bait and Smokes.
Bobby, let's try headshots.
Two headshots. Try our new spicy chicken piazzole or some classic meatballs. And do you know where you'll find the juiciest, tenderest steaks in town? That's right, the Pet Depot.
Headshots again.
Headshots. We serve up a 28-ounce porterhouse that'll hit you so hard you won't remember eating it. So treat yourself to a night out soon at Wo Hop Fung's Authentic Chinese Laundry.
Wow, so wrong on so many levels. Headshots.
That's right, headshots. Every Thursday night, get 10% off when you mention my name, Bobby Marone. I'll see you soon at Mistress Elena's Domination Dungeon.
That explains so much, but headshots.
Headshots. You know, maybe we ought to start writing these things down.
That would be what the paper in your hand is for, Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it, too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Hey, Bailey, how are you?
Guys, hi, Ron. How are
you? Great. Well, we formally met, so that's good. So.
I know, that was official. That's
it was official. Cool. That was official. Hey, congratulations on the film. It's doing really well. It's The Strangers Pray at Night. Yeah, it's all over the place, and the coming attractions are everywhere, and this is it's doing really well. In a theater near us
Thank
here in
you.
The
I've heard that I never know if it is or not. So
oh,
I,
yes.
I think it is.
No, it is actually it's actually on the screen and everything. there's a theater near us in Boston here. It's actually on three screens, so it's pretty prominent. Okay. Yeah, it's very cool. Now this is a sequel actually to The Strangers. As I understand, yeah.
Well, in a way, it's a standalone where if anyone saw the classic Strangers, it was Tyler and Scott Speedman 10 years ago. It's a nod to that. So the same three masked psychopath killers, just in a different landscape with a different, you know, different people being affected by it. Yeah. However, if you're like me and you're of this generation who, you know, was 8 at the time the movie came out, this is kind of the introduction to you as well. You don't have to see the first one in order to see this, but if you have seen the first and loved it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how the hello to the strangers happened.
Yeah, 10 years ago. Some of the characters, and then also, of course, a different title after it. But anyway, this is, I guess one would call a scary thriller. From second to second, you don't know what's going to happen, and it's people in peril, and it puts you on the edge of your seat.
Thank you. That's totally what we were going for.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty crazy. I went to a couple of showings that were sold out opening weekend. Yeah. I was kind of theater hopping around town in LA, and I just wanted to get the vibe of what the audience was feeling. And showing after showing, people were literally screaming at the screen. They were talking to it. They were applauding and getting out of their seats and jumping up and down. I think it's scary as it is, and as dreadful as the situation is, I find it to be a very fun experience for the audience. It kind of takes you in. Into the movie as well, so you feel very invested, it's been fun to get to watch the reactions in that way.
Yeah, I would say it's quite encompassing. I would give it that kind of adjective. And you may spill your popcorn. I don't know. It's possible here. You've been doing
definitely.
You've been doing this for a long time. As young as you are, Bailey, you've been in quite a few films here and releases. It's kind of impressive.
You.
Yeah.
Very kind. I've been very, very fortunate. Yeah, I've been working since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And God's been very, very good to me.
Yeah. Now, is it different to do a film like this? Is it as scary to you as it is to us? Probably not, I guess.
I mean, masked people are actually my greatest fear. So my entire family and my friends were, you know, my close friends were like, what are you doing? Like, this is literally your biggest nightmare. There were often times that I genuinely was scared. However, I had been on the hunt with my team, and I had been on the hunt for a script that would push me kind of back to emotionally, because that's kind of what I did. When I was younger, when I was starting off, I was always drawn to those the most. But then something that pushed me physically as well, and this script, I mean, has stunts and running and jumping off of things I've caused on fire with me, and it really allowed me to get down and dirty with the material and with the stunts. So for me, I was so attracted to it that, as crazy as it sounds, but I mean, I literally never stopped smiling from 4 in the afternoon, started filming until 10 o'clock in the morning when we got home. I loved every second.
It must be kind of confusing where in the film itself, I mean, you're terrorized, but yet you probably know all these actors and they're probably wonderful, good people. So it's like, whoa, it's like bipolar stuff going on here. I mean, it must be a little confused. Like, you're a wonderful person, but I hate you. It's just kind of odd.
You know what? We actually, I think in terms of wanting to keep it, because they really are, I mean, pun intended, they're strangers.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a level of uneasiness and honestly the fact that these people are fighting against people, they have no idea who it is.
Mm-hmm.
That level is very known in the movie. So I think we all kind of took precautions to not get too close to the people that were playing the strangers. And I think that those actors who were playing the strangers didn't get too close to us.
Interesting.
So in the beginning of filming, we really gave them their space to get in their heads. They give us their space again, you know, our space again in our heads.
Oh.
But towards the end of filming, you know, after like a month, I was like, what's up? How are your kids? Like, what's going on? Oh, wait. So when you come over to me this time, like, I'm going to actually hit you. And they were like, well, yes. So I mean, it does.
Wow. So it's like, wow. So it's like more method acting, like they really try to set up not a friendly circumstance in an unfriendly portrayal. That's kind of interesting. Wow. I did not know that.
I think we just didn't want to, I think we wanted to give them their space.
Yeah.
Not,
pretty
you
cool.
know, when we saw them, we wanted to see them with a mask.
Yeah.
As opposed to
bot. Yeah. Did you do you say there was a lot of running around and jumping. Did you do all that yourself? Do they have stunt people for that kind of grueling thing?
I was so fortunate. I remember, you know, the stunts was one of the main reasons why I attracted to the movie. And when I landed in Kentucky, I pulled Johannes aside. Johannes Roberts, our amazing director, and Cal Johnson, who's our fearless stunt coordinator. And I was like, look, I have two outfit options. Which one will you let me wear so I can do all my own stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And the cow kind of looked at me like I was crazy. Johannes was pretty much on board in the beginning. Yeah. And I was like, I really want to do my own stuff. And day one, he put me through the ringer, Cal Johnson did. And day by day, he continued to do so. And he came up to me at the end of filming with a t-shirt, like a stunts t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I tried to break you so hard in the first week, but you were relentless, and you can be a part of the stunt team whenever you want.
Very cool.
It was just like the kindest thing ever. So they allowed me to be in the car when it was hit, to be running around in the fire, to be jumping off things, running, screaming, and crawling. And they pushed me so hard. I'm so grateful with the stunt team for, you know, teaching me how to properly do it.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to filming, to just letting me give it my best shot and really.
Yeah, very cool. There's one scene in it that I kind of never forgot, and it's kind of like a nightmare for a lot of people. You're driving in your car, you're in a driver's seat, someone pulls up next to you, and they pull up so close that you can't open your driver's door. They've kind of, strangers in a split second, have trapped you. And that feeling is just, that was very well portrayed. I thought, well, that's pretty bad. That's pretty scary.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, that worked pretty good. The movie's playing everywhere, and it's been out for, it just came out recently, right?
Yeah, it came out this Friday.
Yeah.
So almost a week.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool, and it's available in theaters. And again, it's on many screens and many of the big complexes, so there's no excuse not to see it, and it's pretty cool. And you're excellent in it, by the way, Bailey, and it's a pleasure speaking to you. Is there a place where we can get more information?
Thanks for like, letting me chat.
Yeah. What if someone wanted to follow your career, Bailey, Facebook, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, goodness, yeah. My Twitter, my Instagram are just my name, so mm-hmm. Bailey Madison, mm-hmm. BAILEEWNOI, and then Snapchat. XO Bailey Madison. I have a Facebook. I really use it, but I'm trying to get back into it.
I've become scared of Facebook. I haven't been on it in a month, and I'm told I'm supposed to because I'm in a media job. But I can't. People are so negative about everything, not just about, you know, stuff, but I mean, like, everybody's so like, ugh.
I think you're going to find that everywhere, but Facebook does feel like it's a gutter pan, but no.
It's like I feel like
I'm, your positivity wrong.
Yeah, I feel like I'm taking on everybody's problems when I go to Facebook. It's like, now I know what everybody's problems are. I don't want that. All right. The movie is called The Strangers Pray at Night. It's playing everywhere across the country. Pleasure speaking to you, and continued success to you, Bailey.
Thank you.
You take care.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Bye bye. Well, thank you, Bailey. Love your Irish cream liqueur. She does make a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for today. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again on Monday. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye. Bye. Goodbye. That was exhausting. Whew. 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 Whew.